Welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I would love to introduce to you the incredible Mr. Jim Bagensis. Jim, why don't you take it from here?
Oh, thank you very much, Tanya. It's always great to share with these virtual summits. So today's topic is called The Summer of 95. And it feels that 95 was only a few days away, but as you know, it's quite a number of years away. I don't remember how long ago it was, but say 20 years or so. And back then, there was a lot of things we didn't have. LinkedIn, Facebook, none of this stuff was around. And we had big, thick phones and things like that. But the story I want to share is actually a personal story. At that time, in 95, I was actually going to my last year of college, Centennial College here in Toronto. Things were going great. I was taking a business administration course. It was a core program, so basically I was going to school and then going to working. So when I finished college, I had no college debt. So back then, that was a great thing. So I was doing that. Things were going well. But in May of that year, May of 95, I was always an opportunist, even at that age. I was very active playing sports. I played basketball, a little bit of soccer, but I was big in playing ball hockey. It was basically hockey on cement. And had a circle of friends. We all played sports, but there was a team that I was trying out for. And this was a very competitive team, ball hockey team. And I was 5'11", but I wasn't maybe in the best of shape then. I was very athletic, but I wasn't, say, the best shape. But I always competed. Everyone, I did well at everything that I did at. So I made this team called the Chiefs, and it was a top-tier ball hockey team. And I remember the convener says to us, "Oh, man, you guys are going to win the whole thing." This is before the season got started, because we had a really good team. So bring an analogy is, picture having on this team in sort of NHL terms, Crosby, Gretzky, Ovechkin, Wendell Clark, Doug Gilmore. I mean, having the peak players that I was going to play with in ball hockey. That's how good these guys were. And I made the team. I was playing basically a fourth line. I wouldn't play that much, but I would play more of a checking line. And I was fine with that. So I started that, playing with them in the season's 15 games, started the season. So I was in college at that time, and it was near the end. And exams were happening, obviously, near the end of that. So things might get a little tricky, I thought. I wasn't really concerned about it. So we started the season, and things were going well with that. During that time also, another team I was playing for sort of on weekends here in Toronto said to me, "You want to join a team?" And I'm like, "Let me think about this." So I thought about it, and I go, okay, this team is not a great team. Just to draw an analogy, picture the Bad News Bear. That's how bad this team was. I said, "You know what? Why not?" So I joined this team. So I was playing for a top-tier team, and I was playing for a Bad News Bears team at the same time. Now, at this time, when I say this story, it sounds kind of crazy. Back then, I was young, I had lots of energy, had a car, can go back and forth, it was easy. So I played. So this Bad News Bears team was really bad news. And so when they found out that I was playing for the other team, like, "Oh, if you're that good, maybe you can help us." So I coached some of the players, how to shoot better and all that. And there was guys there who were professionally, they were university grads. They were just starting their careers, scenarios, and I'm teaching them ball hockey skills. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And there was a couple of guys there that I thought, oh, God, they can't even shoot a ball straight. They might not even score a goal. So picture this. The season's going on. School's happening. And the three words that I want you to write down about this is persistence, determination, and passion. Because those are the three things that were part of me and still are, and how I got through this journey at that time. playing with the Chiefs, they were the top tier team. Again, we were winning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games, and we were undefeated till about week 12 or 13, if I remember correctly. And then something interesting happened. We were undefeated, and remember I told you the convener says we're going to undefeated. Well, he was teasing me every time we walk in. He says, "Remember what I told you, Jim?" I go, "I'm not going to pay attention." It's like a pitcher who's throwing a no-hitter. You know, after the sixth or seventh, people will start saying, "Okay, don't look at the pitcher, don't touch the pitcher." It's just one of those things you just don't do. And I just kept not listening to him. So my role, as I said, with the Chiefs was a fourth-line role. And so this game here we're playing, and it was I think it was a 2-1 maybe with 6 or 7 minutes left in the period. Now, I'm telling you a few things that if everybody laughs on this call, I'm okay. Back then, it was funny too. So my teammate and I, we were called Thunderbolt and Lightning. Now, the reason we were called Thunderbolt and Lightning, because when we were on the ice, it was obvious. We were not the most athletic. My partner was probably 290. You know, he was a big guy, but he could run. Same as Fernando. And so we had an elite center with us who would double shift. So the guy who was the first shift would play on our shift on the fourth line. And, you know, we had our chances, believe it or not. You know, I had probably got a bunch of assists and scored a few, you know, cheap goals throughout the season. But the thing with this game was is that I had approached Lightning, and I said, "Listen, we're gonna tie this game up." And they both looked at me and said, "What do you mean we're going to tie this game up? We're going to probably lose this game." I said, "We still got 5 minutes left." And all the guys on the team, I remember this, were like, we'll take the L. I go, "I'm not taking it. I want to win this thing." So I devised a plan. So even back then, I was devising plans. So I said, "Okay, this is what we're going to do." So got to the bench, and I said, "This is what I'm going to do. Me and Lightning are going to crash the net. The centerman, his name is Nelson, you just throw the ball at the net." And they said, "You sure about this?" I said, "I'm absolutely sure. One of us are going to trip, fall, you know, and we'll have to stay out of the crease, and we'll score." And the team was like, they started rallying behind us. And, "Okay, you know what? I agree with you. We should go undefeated. Why not?" So we devised this plan. And just to let you know, just because you devise a plan doesn't mean the plan is always going to work, okay? So we were playing, and again, it's a summer, it's hot, we're exhausted. But I knew, I said, "I don't know how we're going to do this, but now I told the universe, we got to do this." So the play goes on, and wouldn't you know it, Nelson, we crash the net, and all of a sudden, Nelson throws the ball to the net, Fernando and I crash the net. The only thing I remember to this day was my chest on the top of the crossbar, my feet dangling, and seeing a puck in the back of the net. That's the only thing I remember. The place went ballistic. The team on the other side were like, they couldn't believe it because they were fighting, we were throwing everything at the kitchen sink to score. They were like so disheartened. We went to the back of the bench. Man, they were throwing water on me. They almost dumped, I think, all the Kool-Aid on me there. They were going crazy. They're like, "Man, you did it. Can you do that for the rest of the season?" I said, "We'll do it." So we sat down. I was catching my breath. Didn't know what the heck was going on. Referees were talking. They called it a goal. And we ended up tying the game. We went on and winning the rest of the game. So we ended up 14-0-1. And it was such a victory for us. And at the end of the game, we're all getting undressed. And the convener walks in, and he goes, "Where's Jim?" So I'm like, "Right here." And they said, "Oh, you won first star. You got a medal for first star." The whole team, again, jumped all over me. And, again, it created that synergy, that teammanship for this. And I'll tell you what happens. We make the playoffs, but I'll tell you that at the end. So the other team, the Aruba Tigers, such a beautiful name. I know everybody's like, "Aruba Tigers, great name." So, Aruba Tigers. Now, that's a different story. Aruba Tigers, we won some, we lost some, we lost a few more, we won, a few. We scraped into the playoffs, okay? We scraped in. We made the playoffs. But during the season, a few interesting things happened that I remember. Remember I told you about those couple of guys who couldn't to even shoot a ball straight, literally. I mean, it wasn't that hard. Or lift the ball. Well, these guys turned out to be, like, all-stars. They started scoring goals. They started getting assists. And every time they come back to the bench and go, it's all because of you, man. It's all because of you. I'm like, okay. Once, twice is enough. You know, that's fine. I know, that's good. But they were so appreciative of the fact that not that they even shot the ball, they scored. And it was not hard to score, but it wasn't easy in a sense. So we went on, and then the guys, we started to gel a little bit. And I think it was just because we wanted to do better. We didn't want to be the laughing stock of, being 0-14. So we make the playoffs. So then things get really interesting. Remember, I told you I was in Centennial College and I was taking classes. Well, near the end of this situation, I began to get a little concerned because I was in the playoffs with both teams. We were playing on different nights. I had finals coming up, and I'm like, "Oh, this is going to be interesting. I gotta, balance my finals. Plus, I gotta play playoffs with these two teams." And I had made a contingency plans that I would play with a good team and I would leave and not play with Ruby Tigers. Ruby Tigers understood. I told them the situation. The captain says, "You know what? I understand. You know, school's important." I go, "Yes, it is. I want to finish. I want to get my diploma. I'm looking at it right now." So I did get it. But the thing was, I made a decision. And to this day, the decision was not the right decision. So there was a class. It was called Organizational Behavior. Such a great name. I didn't pass the class. And here's why. One of the games that I had was in conflict with one of the Ruby Tigers playoff games that we had. And I remember that night, I was like, parents are going to kill me. My classmates are going to be pissed, right? Teachers are going to be pissed, sorry for the French, upset, right? And I made a decision to go play the ball hockey. So I failed the course. Now, there's a happy story with that, but I went and played the game. And the funny thing about this night is that we were playing a team that we shouldn't even beaten this team. I mean, they were good. The momentum that we created from the team during the season really, I think, crystallized in the summertime. I mean, the goalie was playing really well. He was in the kind of average goaltender, but he started playing well. The team started really playing well. We had some practices in between. And the other team would come to us, because I was one of the assistant captains. They would come to me and go, "Man, we're worried." They would come to and tell us this. It was, "I don't know if there's going to beat us." And we thought they were joking around, but they weren't. They were concerned. They thought, "Ooh, man, this might be a close series." I'm like, "Okay, that's good." We were like, "We're going to get slaughtered." You know, we knew we couldn't beat them, but we went and played. And the interesting thing happened is that we played well. And we went in, we won, went to the finals, and we lost the finals. But here's what happened. We lost the finals. We went back to the dressing room. We were, like, happy. Because first thing is that we didn't give up. Second thing is we competed. And the third is we put everything out there that we wanted to win. The captain and the assistant captain from the other team came to the dressing room, and they actually gave us a speech. And it was short, couple of minutes, and they said to us, "Guys, we know we won, but we want to personally thank you. You guys competed to the best of your abilities, and we've seriously had to, like, they tried. They weren't, like, letting up. We didn't let up. We told you we did not let up." And it was nice of them to say that because they actually competed. They didn't soften it up for us because some teams had done that in the past. And so when we got in with the Chiefs, into the finals, that was a different situation. I didn't play as much in the finals. I was there. I got dressed. And we played a team that was probably one of the toughest teams in the league from the other division we were competing against. And I can remember the sweat, the emotions the team was going through. We were a mess. We were a bunch of nervous nerds, I call this at times. We're always nervous for a game. Even though we're that good, a lot of the guys were nervous. They were like, "Are we going to win this game?" And these guys were elite players. I was a little surprised. I go, "Man, we're going to do well. So we actually went to the finals, and we beat this team literally three games straight. The third game, the deciding game, we beat them. I mean, it was crazy. Some of these leagues at that time, there was a lot of unfortunately fights that would break up, happen at these leagues, and it was very disconcerting. But it happened. So there's a lot of fight in this game, and I remember sitting on the bench and go, man, thank God I'm not out there. I was like, my teammates, and man, it was just some not really bad fights. But the team was so frustrated because we were so good. So when you play with elite players, and this is the lesson I learned back then, I still play ball hockey here part-time, is that I became such a better player being around that type of elitism of players. And they were good friends for a number of years. I still see them here once in a while. But the thing was, is I got better because I had to perform. And I still bring that attitude now in other competitive things that I do. But I remember, I look at the trophies here every day, that it's not just a trophy. It shows blood, sweat, and tears, and persistence, and determination that we were fighting to win something. We were fighting to be champions. And at the end of the day, we won. So we won first place, and we won the division, and we won the playoffs. So I got two trophies from that, and I got a trophy from the Ruba Tigers. So as far as the college situation is concerned, yes, I did fail the course. But I actually went back to night school at the end. I had not done well on a few other courses, so I did about three courses in night school, and I got A's, and I got my diploma here in front of me. Now, just to tie all this together, the reason this story is such a very passionate story and has a lot of strong memories for me is, fast forward to 2016, I haven't really won any trophies since then. I have won some small corporate trophies for soccer and for baseball. It's exciting. So for me, those trophies are something that I will hold for a long time. I actually shared this story with a bunch of young students I teach here in Toronto a couple of weeks ago, and I brought my trophies in, and I shared it with them. And the memories are mine. The things that I did are all mine. But the trophies is that physical thing you keep. And what reminds me of then and take it with me now is what I said earlier. It's about being persistent. It's about being determined. It's about being passionate on what you do. And I've taken those attributes and applied them to everything that I've done, from becoming a better speaker, joining the Public Speakers Association 2013, which was one of the most amazing experiences. Learning from Tanya, learning from some of the PSA members. Going to the States last year, talking to them here via phone fairly often, becoming part of that community has made me a better person, but a better speaker, a better trainer. Other things, so I'm teaching social media with Constant Contact, seeing some of my other PSA members begin to really take flight and do some amazing things in the community. Over the past few years, win awards. One of my fellow PSA members won an award from another organization that he belongs to that I helped him with a service that I sold him. He won an award, and it was so exciting to him to get recognized that he's doing something. But people noticed a multi-million dollar organization gave him an award. I was freaking out. I was doing jumping jacks because it was a thing of an award of recognition. And the reason I tell you this is something that our leader, Tanya, says all the time is, if you listen to our webinars, you listen to our virtual summits, it's all about going out and making a difference and winning and nominating for something. So I actually have put myself in a couple of nominations for some awards here recently, and I'm about to fill out the application form here in the past few weeks, and I'm nervous, but I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to fill it out. I'm going to send it in. And the rest is the universe's decision. But we have to go out there and win, and not just for ourselves, but to make an impact for others. And I tell you this because it's not about sports, ladies and gentlemen. It's about you deciding what you want to do. And for me, my birthday was last week. I'm in my mid-40s now. But I've continued to do that. I say I play ball hockey here once a week. I cycle. I just got a friend of mine invited me to do a 5K run in June. I'm like, 5K? Okay, sure. I've done a few. I'll add more to the list. But you always have to push yourself. So at the end of the day, the summer of 95 was many years ago. But for me, it was a memory that I'll never forget in 2016. How I take those memories and I apply them and I use them as motivation for myself to push forward and realize back then I didn't realize the impact it would make for me now. And one last thing here, and here's a suggestion. You know, I'm a big fan of Pinterest. And on Pinterest, I've created a whole wall called Achievements. So last summer, I went through my whole database, my whole hard drive, and I put down all these achievements that I've got from different organizations. And it filled up, ladies and gentlemen. I was like, I thought I had a few achievements, but I had a lot of interesting achievements from retail, from awards. It actually blew me away. And I was like, wow, it wasn't just I won the trophies. I've won a bunch of other things. And it was very enlightening for me to see that it wasn't about just the three trophies. I won other things. It was like the only three trophies that I've won. So here's my challenge to you. These virtual summits is about learning and reflecting. But I challenge everyone, go out there and push yourself and do your best. One of the things that Tanya talks about, and I'm going to talk about it here for 3 seconds, is if you're not tweaking, you're not winning. And I constantly remember, tweak. You have to always adapt. You always have to adapt. If you're not adapting, how are you not evolving and winning? So at the end of the day, the moral of this Summer of 95 story is this. It's about persistence. It's about determination. It's about passion. All three things that mean different things for different people. But for me, it holds a higher regard that those 3 years I was living that so long ago. And when I look at my trophies right now, and I'm like, wow, I was part of a team that achieved that goal. So with that, I would encourage everybody to go out there, be the best you, participate with the Public Speaker Association. We have a number of different things that we do online and offline. Check out the website and the motto that I always end these virtual summits is this. You can change the world from the front of the room. Thank you.